House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff,
Piperinen,
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Harshman, Nicholas, Moniz?
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas, excused. 59 present, 1 excused.
Our chaplain for the week is Reverend Rick Hull, representing First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ.
When we come to pray, we ponder before that which is ultimate, infinite, the more of our existence. We are seeking all that is good and right and just. So today let us come seeking the source of our vision for life. Let us pray. Source of our vision, we bring our dreams before you. We dream today with our brother Martin of a time when we will be judged not by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. We dream with our sister Esther, who surely hoped that we would be valued by our generosity rather than our gender. We dream with our forebear Thomas, who penned those great words, "All are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." We dream with that teacher Jesus, who saw a world where the last could be first. So we bring our dreams before you. You, the source of our vision, and we ask that you might help our dreams come true. May this legislative body help our state's dreams come true. May this state help our nation's dreams come true. May our nation help our world's dreams come true. And may our world be a place where our dreams come true. If indeed our dreams are in accordance with you, the source of our vision. Amen.
Please join me.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's a special day indeed. My guy, right up there, you know, married him 41-plus years ago, started dating him 48 years ago. Today is a special birthday for Nick. So, Stan, hit it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nikki. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the thundering 63rd, I've always said that our greatest asset in Wyoming is our youth. We're so fortunate to have such great kids, great students in our schools, and Park County is no exception. So what we have in the House Gallery right behind you is the Youth for Justice Group from Cody, Wyoming. They've got two number ones on their license plate, and they're here to educate and advocate for bills that are important for Wyoming's future. So they're a great group of students, and I wish that we would give them a hearty welcome to the House.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I have been asked to extend an invitation to the entire House by the Wyoming Youth Service Association, breakfast tomorrow morning, room 1699 in the Herschler Building. It's an informational breakfast, but they will also be honoring an esteemed senator. I don't know how we're supposed to refer to people from down the hall. That would be... I'm allowed to say his name. Thank you, Von Fladern, for his outstanding work with youth and families in Wyoming. They'll also be recognizing the Child Care Worker of the Year, and they hope as many of you as possible will attend. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am holding in my hand the official mug of the 63rd. The mugs have arrived. So if you have not emailed me, and please, I do need email, because if you grab me in the hall and tell me how many mugs you want, 10 other people will talk to me before I get back to write it down. So if you could email me and let me know how many mugs you would like before close of business tomorrow. I'm going to wait till I get all my orders in before I start distributing, and the price is $6 a mug. Any extra money I usually donate to our intern fund.
Representative Lindholm, and I'm glad that Dr. Bartholomew is here, because I want him to verify the veracity of this. Representative Lindholm, would you please take the podium and see whether you can explain your absence on Friday to our satisfaction?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we're not supposed to use props in floor debate, but. To the 63rd, I'm honored, and it's really a privilege to introduce my new son, Paul Neil Lindholm, and my wife, Charity Lindholm. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You're welcome. Journal report.
Your journal report that the Journal of January 16, 2015 has been read and recommends that be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message. passage number 100. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 10, Education Administration-1, ayes 29, noes 0, excused 1. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 101. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 13, Method of Execution-1, ayes 17, noes 12, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 102. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 16, Controlled Substances. Ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 103. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 20, School Finance Excess Mill Levy Rebate. Ayes 29, noes 0, 1 excused. Signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 104. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 22, Landfill Remediation Priority List. Ayes 29, noes 0, 1 excused. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 105. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 23, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Amendments. Ayes 29, noes 0, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Our doctor of the day was back there a minute ago, and I wanted him to introduce his daughter, but I don't see him in any of it. The doctor of the day is Dr. Dean Bartholomew. I know him well. Dr. Bartholomew, would you take the podium, please, and introduce your daughter?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is my daughter, Anna, who in Saratoga we do have school today, but we felt that what better way to learn about Martin Luther King than to see the legislature in action. So, thank you.
Please welcome Dr. Bartholomew and Anna. We're now at that business, order of business of adoption of rules. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House rules and the joint rules previously adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives of the 62nd Legislature, together with any amendments approved by the House, be adopted as the permanent rules of the House of Representatives of the 63rd Legislature.
You've heard the motion. Before voting on the motion to adopt the temporary rules as the permanent rules, the House will first consider any proposed amendments to the temporary rules. Amendments to the temporary rules require a majority vote. Amendments to the rules require a two-thirds vote for adoption.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, will you make sure you get out your packet of rules before I start? It starts with JR1. And there are five sheets, and it should be stapled on the left-hand side. It should have been delivered to your desk prior to this morning. Joint rules of the House and the Senate is the first page. And if you cannot find your copy, maybe you could share with your deskmate. Okay, Mr. Speaker, I move Joint Rule 1, to amend Joint Rule 2-2 by creating a new subsection, Joint Rules of the House and the Senate. It's the Conference Procedure Meeting Notices 2-2, small c. When practical, after the conference chairman has set a date, time, and place for a conference committee meeting, the chairman shall report to the chief clerk from the House of Bills origin. The chief clerk shall request the Legislative Service Office to post notice of the meeting on the legislative website. Failure to comply with this subsection shall not invalidate or constitute cause for objection to the rule of the conference committee. And ladies and gentlemen, for most of you that were here last year, we actually practiced this process.
Discussion on the motion. Question being called, and ladies and gentlemen, I would remind you that each of these rule changes requires a two-thirds majority to pass. It's a roll call vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart, Louts,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Joint Rule 1 has passed the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 1 to adopt House Rule, House Rule 5-4 as follows. Standing Committee Proceedings. 5-4 is reports and record of votes. Small b, when a standing committee has disposed of a bill by adoption of a motion to do pass, amend and do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation, the vote on final disposition shall be included in the committee report, indicating how each member voted, and the bill and the report shall be submitted to the chief clerk. The new portion added, when a motion to do pass or amend and do pass fails, the chairman shall report the vote on the failed motion to the Legislative Service Office, including a record indicating how each member of the committee voted. The Legislative Service Office will provide the report of the committee vote to the public.
Discussion on the motion. Question being called. It's a roll call vote, requires a two-thirds vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Louts,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
The amendment to House Rule 5-4B has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is an amendment to House Rule 11-6. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 2 to create House Rule 11-6 for the amendment number 11. 11-6 is the distribution of amendments. Upon approval of the text of an amendment by the sponsor, the amendment will be numbered, distributed to the members of the House, and released to the public as soon as reasonably practicable. And ladies and gentlemen, this is very common in the House practice already.
Discussion on the motion. Question being called. Chief Clerk will call the roll. It requires a two-thirds vote.
Allen. Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
The amendment to the rules by the creation of House Rule 11-6 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is to create House Rule 13-6. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule Amendment Number 3 to create House Rule 13-6, Rules for the Budget Session. 13-6, Schedule of Bills for Introduction Vote. To the extent practicable, a tentative list of bills to be considered for introduction vote will be posted on the legislative website or otherwise made available to the public at the time the list is provided to members of the House. The list will clearly note that the list is tentative only and is subject to last-minute additions, deletions, and changes in order of bill consideration.
Discussion on the motion. Question being called. The Chief Clerk will call the roll. It requires two-thirds majority vote.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Berger. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no.
The amendment to create House Rule 13-6 has passed the House. The next rule amendment for our consideration is Rule 2-2. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move adoption, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule Amendment Number 4, subject to the Senate adopting an identical amendment to Senate Rule 2-6 to amend House Rule 2-2 as follows. House organization. House committees. House standing committees shall be adopted by the Speaker of the House after conferring with the majority and the minority leaders. House standing committees are as follows. 1, judiciary. 2, appropriations. 3, revenue. 4, education. 5, agriculture, state and public lands and water resources. 6, travel, recreation, wildlife and cultural resources. 7, corporations, elections and political subdivisions. Number 8, transportation, technology, and military affairs. Number 9, minerals, business, and economic development. Number 10, labor, health, and social services. 11, journal. 12, rules and procedures. Number 8, ladies and gentlemen, we've changed the name from transportation, technology, and military affairs, and this is to provide for a more even distribution of workflow during the interim in particular. I stand for question.
Discussion on the motion. Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to propose an amendment to this page. It would relate to the prefix, and I would like to delete the words subject to the Senate adopting an identical amendment to Senate Rule 2-6, amend House Rule 2-2 as follows. And does that require a second, Mr. Chairman?
It just says it.
Stand by a moment, please. We need to talk to the House attorneys. Representative Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to withdraw the motion that I just made, and I would further like to divide the amendment. Amendment number one would be the top part that says, subject to the Senate adopting an identical amendment to Senate Rule 2-6, amend House Rule 2-2 as follows. And then the second part of that, Mr. Speaker, would be the following, or the rest.
The chair rules that the amendment is divisible. We're on Division One, Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In this particular interim, we asked for three committee days, three meetings of 2 days each. Our committee met twice with only 1 day for lack of material to cover. And as we look forward to what we're covering as a state, we realize that technology is not really under any particular committee. And last session, we formed the ETS, where we took all of the computer programmers from each division and moved them into one central location and developed a new department. And that particular department right now, I believe, is like the fourth largest in the state. and in my opinion does not really have a home committee to meet under. Now, be aware that if you delete the first part and vote yes on the second part, it is still up to management council to decide which committees hears what. As I put this thought process through LSO, they suggested the proper way was to go to the rules committee. As the rules committee heard it, they said, no, you needed to go to management council. They'll decide, and then if they decide to send you some information or topics to discuss that have to relate to technology, then you can change your name. My thought process is that we would like to have that umbrella, so if something does get signed, and it does not have to get assigned, but if something does get assigned to the committee, then it is under our purview to hear that. So, Mr. Speaker, I would like to, I should have said I'd like to do Division One first, and I would appreciate a no vote on Division One.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, generally, I think this is a great idea that we should periodically look at our workloads and redivide that workload up among the committees as is appropriate so that everybody's working equally hard and contributing to the process. However, in committees in favor of this. But with respect to Division One, I need to have you vote yes for it. And the reason being is that we're going to start this process, and it's true, it's going to go in front of management council, but we need to do this with the other house. We need to make sure we're in lockstep, and if the whole thing doesn't get done this year, it'll get looked at very closely and get done next year. But hopefully it does get done this year. I just don't want to see us separate the name of our committee and go one direction because of the interim work is done as both houses, both chambers together. So I want you to vote yes for division number one.
Representative Gurr, let me clarify. Division one says subject to the Senate adopting an identical amendment, amend the House rule. You want a yes vote on that or a no?
Mr. Speaker, I want us for our bill, so this amendment overall, for it to be effective is only if the Senate does likewise. So if I'm understanding this correctly, the way we divided it is I request that the body here vote yes on Division One. The good chairman had asked you to vote no, if my memory can go back that far. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unusual that I concur completely with the good representative from Orland, but I do. This is not a time to set up a division between the House and the Senate on the committee structure. The process and procedure in Wyoming was unique when it was made in this fashion so that the authority, description, name of the House and Senate committees would be identical. They would be identical for a purpose. That would be that whatever interim work that you do, you end up with an advocate in both the House and the Senate. Blue ribbon committees that preceded that did not enjoy that kind of legislative support when the public had worked hard with the legislators in that interim period. This is not a time to try and pick a quarrel with the Senate, as much as that might grieve some of us at times. But nonetheless, I, too, urge you to vote aye on both sections of the proposed amendment.
Chairman Zwanisser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a matter of procedure, if it pleases the chair, can we address Section 2 of the amendment first? Because Section 1 doesn't matter if Section 2 doesn't pass. So if that is okay, can we rule that we're on Section 2 first to actually change the name before we rule whether or not to agree with the other body?
Well, I already ruled we're on Section 1, and the sponsors already spoken to Section 1, and the other speakers have spoken to Section 1. I think it's bad timing to reverse our field here.
Okay. Can I speak on Section 1 while I have the mic then, Mr. Speaker?
You may. Please proceed.
Thank you.
And I do appreciate everything the former speaker just said, but I think sometimes there are the opportunity in this body to assert some pushback on the others. We get pushed around a lot in this body based on the inexperience of most of us. You know, we turn around 25 to 30% every 2 years. And this is a way, you know, the Senate can keep the rules the way they are forever, and it works in their favor and always tends to work against the House. And so we've had times in our history in the 80s where we had different committee names. We had an extra committee in this body than the Senate did. We do, and this addresses both parts of the amendment, we do have two bills coming from the Senate on digital privacy information that we, in expecting this change, have already put in the statute to send them to the Joint Transportation Committee. We can certainly amend those out when they hit the floor. But I think it's perfectly acceptable to have our body have committees the way we need to have them. My committee met for 7 full days in the interim. Committee number 7 met for 2 half days, equaling 1 full day. So there is a extreme imbalance right now with committee workload, and if this encourages a management council or encourages the Senate to address the problem, I don't think it's going to cause that great of heartache in the other body or, you know, Armageddon in this body to make a change and have a different committee name, and maybe that will encourage the Senate to pass the amendment as well. So I would also ask you to defeat Division 1.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there is some confusion on how this is processed so far. But I want to, for maybe the first time this session, to agree with the good representative from Sheridan. I don't think we want to have different sets of committees and where you have half the action without the full product. I think we better stay where we are. If we make the change, it should be consistent with the Senate. And I understand the workload and who loads these things up, and it's often us. But we should have those two committees so that they clear it. We've got a way of handling bills and how they, I think we should wait until to make sure they are also on this idea and when we move forward.
Any more discussion before the sponsor of the amendment? Well, it's not the sponsor of the amendment, but it's the divider of the amendment. And for your second time, Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the other fine representatives mentioned that this is not the first time that one side of the Capitol has addressed a name change and not the other. In 1984-1985, the body down the hall changed Mines, Minerals, and Industrial Development to Mines, Minerals, and Economic Development. Also that year, the House changed Mines, Minerals, and Industrial Development to Mines and Minerals. So they both made a change, but they did a different change. In 1985, the House also created a new committee, number 11, named Commerce and Business. In 87-88, then the House changed from Mines, Minerals to Mines, Minerals, and Economic Development. In 92-93, the Senate changed Education, Health, and Welfare to Education. And in 92-93, the Senate changed Labor and Federal Relations to Labor, Health, and Social Services. And it goes on. So it's not unprecedented what we're trying to do. I would like to suggest to you to vote no on this particular division. And I think that would allow us, based on what I was told of going through the process of LSO, that this is the proper way that we need to do things. Once again, please vote no. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to this is a motion to amend a motion. It's an oral motion. We're going to do a voice vote on Division 1. We're going to do a voice vote on Division 2, and then whatever content the thing has after those two voice votes, and we'll take a two-thirds vote on adoption of the rule as amended. Chairman Patton, unless you have a point of order, I think we're done. Okay, please proceed.
Point of order is on your comments to make sure that the amendment only takes a majority vote.
The amendment to the motion only takes a majority vote. That's correct. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're on Division 1 of House Rule 4. Division 1 is the top sentence there, subject to the Senate adopting an identical amendment to Senate Rule 2-6, amend House Rule 2-2 as follows. A yes vote on this means that you want to make adoption of this subject to adoption of an identical change in the Senate. A no vote means that we would take this language out and we would change the rule without regard to what the Senate does. All those in favor of the motion to amend, all those in favor of Division 1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Boy, you guys are a tough crowd. The chair is in doubt. Would those in favor please stand? Division 1 has been adopted. We're on Division 2. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would still like to have the committee changed. Transportation and Highways is somewhat redundant. I would like to see it changed to Transportation, Technology, and Military Affairs. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like some comment on why are we getting rid of highways? Is it just the redundancy? There's lots of times we deal with just transportation issues, whether it be railroad, buses, airlines. Other times we deal with nothing but highways. I'm not sure why we just didn't add technology. I don't know if I can get an answer on that or not, but concerned of why we got rid of highways and just added technology, left highways in there.
Other discussion, first or second times before the sponsor. This is it. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's just my thoughts that highways are part of the transportation system in general, so that's the redundancy I'm after. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is a voice vote, preliminary to a two-thirds vote for adoption of the rule. An affirmative vote would be in favor of changing the name as specified, and no vote would be against it. All those in favor of Division 2 signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 has passed the House. So both divisions are adopted as a part of the motion. The motion requires a two-thirds vote. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Bill.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Throne,
aye. Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Walters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
House Rule 4, amending the rule House 2.0 of the House Organization, has passed the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I believe that we now need to adopt the original motion.
Is that a motion, Madam Majority Leader?
And Mr. Speaker, I move that the House rules, maybe I should just repeat that. I move that the House rules and the joint rules previously adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives of the 62nd Legislature, together with any amendments approved by the House, be adopted as the permanent rules of the House of Representatives of the 63rd Legislature.
Is there a second to that motion? Discussion on the motion. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because these rules encompass all of the business that we do as a body, I'm curious, for those who participated in this discussion, what the discussion was around the time between the different readings in the budget bill, in the supplemental budget or the budget bill itself. I know that there's been discussion within the organization, within this body, about the time allowed between committee of the whole, or first reading, second reading, and third reading of the budget. And I just wondered if the good members of the folks who actually brought us these would give us any elucidation of what discussion was had in that account. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I'll take that on behalf of the committee, having been one who was close to yelling on behalf of that particular issue. Because of the budget, we have to have a joint rule, Senate and House. And the way the rules are on the Rules Committee is you have to have a majority of the House members pass a joint rule and a majority of the Senate members pass a joint rule. That very issue was brought out, I think it was the Chairman of Transportation brought that before us, with the concept of giving us a day to see the third reading budget amendments to be able to understand them and digest those. I think we were almost unanimous on our House vote trying to get that rule change. It failed the Senate side of their Rules Committee, and we debated that long and hard and went through all the explanations of what had transpired last year. All I can sit and tell you, Representative, is we tried very hard. And engaged in a very strong, vigorous, robust is a catch term debate concerning that. Yeah.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also wanted to make the body aware of a proposed amendment that I brought that would have required the ayes and noes on any budget amendment that passed a voice vote. That eventually was not passed by the committee, but I just feel that it's still appropriate for us, if we're going to have policy written in the budget, that we do call for the ayes and the noes. So that's moving forward, that's my intention. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any more discussion? Adoption of the rules and the amendments is a roll call vote. It requires a majority to pass. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Baldwin. Baldwin.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Representative Barlow, would you confirm your vote, please? Okay, thank you. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
By a majority vote, the House rules and joint rules previously adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives of the 62nd Legislature, together with any amendments approved by the House, are adopted as the permanent rules of House of Representatives of the 63rd Legislature. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
First, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for working with us on the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to take a moment to honor a wonderful friend of ours from a neighboring state, former Representative and Speaker Becky Lockhart, passed away this weekend at the age of 46. There are many in this chamber who have had the opportunity to work with Speaker Lockhart. She passed away from CJD, which is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is a degenerative neurological disorder that is incurable and invariably fatal. She started having symptoms at Thanksgiving. She went to several of our NCSL meetings in December and became ill, and she passed away on Saturday. And in honoring her, I just wanted to say a couple of things about her style of leadership. From her friends and fellow members of the Utah legislature, she, during her time, always fostered a collaborative atmosphere where every member of the House felt like his or her input was important and that the laws of the body passed benefited from the bottom-up approach. The governing style did not go unnoticed. The most striking thing about Becky, if you are talking about her political self, is her collaborative nature, according to Senator Deidre Henderson. She wasn't interested in being in power for the sake of being powerful. She was interested in finding solutions to problems, and she understood that no one person had all the answers. She was very good at empowering the people around her, and she was Utah's first woman speaker. So I'd like to ask you to take a moment of silence to lift up her family and her legislative body. Thank you. We honor Senator Becky Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Next order of business is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32 from Representative McKim, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 32 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82.
House Bill 82 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
House Bill 82 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, as presented by Representative Croker, an act relating to the administration of the government.
House Bill 89 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill 96 from Representative Brown, an act relating to alcohol and catering permits.
House Bill 96 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Mr. Speaker. Committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred to House Bill 19, Registered Investment Advisors, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 20, Clarification of Duties of Treasurer's Office, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 10, Education-State Authorization, Reciprocity Agreement, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrup, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 33, Workers' Compensation Premiums-Experience Modification, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on third and final reading. And ladies and gentlemen, since it's the first time around, let's just review here a little bit. The rules of debate on third reading are the same as on second reading. The sponsor of the amendment speaks. Then everyone who wishes to debate can have a first time to speak. When we've exhausted all those on first time, then anyone who wishes can have a second time to speak. Sometimes people get up and say, on the first time, people get up and say, I speak in order to be able to speak the second time. And that's all they say. After everyone has spoken twice, the sponsor will speak last on the amendment, and then we'll have the vote. It's a roll call vote, and for those new legislators, a lot of people would give you the advice that we're on third reading. That's a roll call vote. Those are the ones that you are going to be stuck with in infamy. And a lot of people say you ought to close your laptop and put your stuff away and really pay attention to what's going on, because these are the ones that count. So, the first bill for consideration on third reading is House Bill 3.
House Bill number 3 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
And ladies and gentlemen, just one more thing I want to make clear. On third reading, you only speak on that bill if you've filed an amendment. And so if you wish to speak in opposition to the bill on third reading, the way you do that is go have an amendment drafted to delete the enacting clause. And then the typical motion is, Mr. Speaker, I move amendment such and so, which deletes the enacting clause, and at the proper time I will withdraw it. Then that leaves a motion pending upon which there can be debate, after which that motion is typically withdrawn and we go to a vote. There's no amendment on House Bill 3. And so it's up for an up or down vote. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparik. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pilkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder. Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay? Aye to no. Yagi? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 42 aye, 18 no.
House Bill 3 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 13 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pilkey. Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 13 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 14 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to municipal courts, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker. Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pilkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne. Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no.
House Bill 14 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 16 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Pennell,
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
House Bill 16 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 17 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 17. Ask for your favorable consideration. I didn't get the opportunity to debate this when it was in the Committee of the Whole, so this is my opportunity to raise some issues concerning this bill. It's been around for a while, keeps coming back. Looks like it's getting a little further each time. What I think I want to start out with is the general concept of I don't think it's appropriate for people to be able to sexually harass or assault people, okay? What I do think is appropriate is when we pass laws that we go ahead and hold up to the proposition that we have to give the accused in the United States a due process of law. And we have to guard against violating that principle, and we have to balance that every time we get in here and make a decision. Now keep in mind, when someone has been accused and then charged by your county attorney, they're brought in front of a judge. And at that point in time, that judge is going to hear from the defendant or the accused. He's also going to hear from the county attorney, who's going to make recommendations concerning the conditions of this person being released back out on the street. They're bond conditions. And at that point in time, the judge does put in an order to say, and depends upon what's going on, but stay away from the victim, don't go over to their place of employment, stay out of bars, the usual, don't drink any alcohol, all of those types of things come in. What we're finding here, and what I believe the committee heard, because I have heard it as well, is there are the rare circumstances where someone has been intimidated, assaulted, and the county attorney doesn't have enough evidence or doesn't want to bring those charges. And yet then we have somebody, a victim, who's in fear. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. It's a very small circumstance, okay? This does not, and I have to be clear, this does not apply to the person who's been charged. It does, but it's not necessary in that respect, because the judge is going to go ahead and issue that order saying, you're going to stay away from that person, you're going to stay away from that person's place of employment. Okay? What I wanted to do on this amendment was try to strike that balance. And what you'll see we're doing here is accomplishing three things. One is I want to keep the identity of the alleged perpetrator, his identity, and that confidential. Now, you'll see within the bill, you can't read it in the amendment, but when you go through the bill, that can be released to the police department or, if necessary, to the victim's employer so that people know that this individual is to stay away. Okay? But I want to keep that secret because there's nothing worse or nothing excuse me. We don't want to allow a situation where someone can be wrongly accused of committing a sexual assault on an individual and have their life ruined when, in fact, they haven't had the opportunity for due process of law, okay? So that's what it does first, is keep this secret to the extent that we can. Okay, the second component of this that we're looking at doing is we've got an end gate on one of these orders. One of these orders comes out. The judge enters it, goes through the process that's laid out by the committee in the bill, submits the affidavit. They can get a temporary order, which, if this amendment passes, is confidential. Then they'll come back in for an evidentiary hearing within the 72-hour period under the statute, and the judge is going to issue that order. And that protective order is going to be there. Now, keep in mind, if the county attorney doesn't bring their charges, okay, this order is the only thing that's there for protection. But if the county attorney does bring his charges, he's going to ask as a condition of bond until this matter goes all the way to trial or is otherwise dismissed that the perpetrator stay away from the victim. So if we don't have, so we got a 3-month window here, 3 months for the matter to be investigated and for the county attorney to come in and file their charges. If they don't, then what happens is that you've got to go back in and show to the court and have the court make a determination that the clear, and it's interesting terminology, but it's out of the stalking statute, clear and present danger still exists 3 months later, in which case the judge could reinstate that order for another 3 months, keeping in mind that the person hasn't been charged. Okay? So hopefully I've made that distinction. Well, all I'm asking for is the fact is that this comes into those rare circumstances to protect somebody for a short period of time in situations where the county attorney doesn't take any action. And all I want to do is make sure that the alleged, and we have to use that term, the alleged perpetrator's identity is protected so his or her life isn't ruined by being falsely accused. And if you'd like, I can pencil down through the amendment, but it is an ugly one, so I thought I would just explain it that way. I ask for your favorable consideration, and I'll respond to any comments.
Representative Pelkey.
Mr. Speaker, I stand in opposition to the amendment largely because of the language that limits the period of the protection order to 3 months. We don't subject the victims of stalking or victims of domestic violence to that short of a term. Those protection orders are good for a year. It makes sense to extend that same protection to victims of sexual assault. I support the idea of sealing the file. I think that an allegation of sexual assault against an alleged perpetrator is a serious one, and it could sully your reputation permanently. And I do agree that it's necessary to keep those files sealed. But I'm very uncomfortable with the limitation of 3 months on the term of protection order.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I think that the good representative from the land where his license plate has a 2-0 on it does make some good points. And I think that in regard to due process of anyone accused with a crime, that's a very important thing, and that's something that we hold in high esteem and high regard in this state. However, I think that it's important to make a couple distinctions, and those distinctions are important in this case. This deals with a civil order. a civil order where a judge would determine that a clear and present danger exists for a victim. Now, you can have a civil order without a criminal case moving forward. You can have this standalone, or you can have a civil order with a criminal case that's ongoing. And I think that the difference is, that I mentioned during the Committee of the Whole debate, is that this order allows for an immediate arrest of a defendant, or excuse me, immediate arrest of someone who violates the order. If a bond condition's in place, that has to go back to a judge to determine that a bond revocation occurred, a bond violation happened, and then an arrest warrant would issue. This allows for, this on the civil side, an immediate arrest. And I think that the language that I'm particularly concerned about from line 21 down is the three-month period. And I think if you look at that and you look at the language specifically in line 22 through 24, it talks about for a fixed period of time not to exceed, and in the current bill's 1 year, the proposed amendment's 3 months. This gives the court discretion. They can look at the fact pattern. They can look at the evidence that's presented. They can hear the testimony. And they can say, right now, under the existing language, not looking at this amendment, but the existing language of the bill, a court could say, you know what, this is a pretty iffy situation. So as a result of that, a court can say, I'm only going to issue an order for a one-month period of time, or a three-month period of time, or a six-month period of time. So it gives the judge the discretion to look at the fact pattern and say, I've got the authority to issue it up to a year, but if you look specifically at this fact pattern, I think 3 months is more appropriate, or 6 months is more appropriate. So that longer period of time allows discretion for the court. The problem with reducing that to a three-month period is that if you have these egregious cases where someone who has been assaulted has to come back in every three months, face the person that potentially has caused this harm, and have to re-put on that case before the court over and over and over again. I say give the court the discretion to hear the facts, give the court the opportunity to say, you know what, a one-month period is appropriate, a six-month period is appropriate, or 1 year is appropriate. So as a result of this language, you would have in those most egregious cases these people that have been victimized going back to the court, back to the court, back to the court. So it's important to realize this is separate and apart from a criminal matter, and that you should allow these judges the discretion to extend those up to a one-year period of time. And I think that's important because every case is different, every fact pattern is different, on and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is a, as you can all see, this is a discussion between lawyers as the most part. And so I have arguments for the lawyers, but I have arguments for folks that kind of don't necessarily understand what we're talking about. This is a mechanism. It's kind of a he said, she said bill. And this bill only applies, and it's only talking about those situations, that rare situation where someone complains of some type of sexual assault, and the prosecutor, you know, that person, I mean, if it's an egregious thing, there'll be a rape kit, there'll be all these things that transpire, people will be interviewed, all this stuff takes place, and then, or the not-so-serious, then it might be just complaint through DFS, DS services, and then the process works through what's going on. But anytime there's a real threat of criminal contact, of a criminal actions, then there's going to be an arrest warrant, there's going to be someone's arrested, and in the moment that they're arrested, the bond conditions on that arrest warrant and the terms of bond will either, most of the time that person's put in jail. On occasion, that person is not put in jail under certain terms and conditions, which is you have no contact with the victim, you have to stay so far away from where that person is, all types of protections. And if that's violated, then trust me, the prosecutor is going to say that man needs to go to jail. And so that's what normally happens. What this bill, conceptually, it's a he said, she said bill where there is simply not enough evidence even to submit an arrest warrant or a charging document or indictment because there's no probable cause that the crime that actually existed. And so, and this isn't just talking about, the egregious case. This is any sexual assault. So this is someone who's in a bar who pinched someone on the hind end. That's a sexual assault. So if you do that, then you're subject to immediate arrest if you do it again in the bar 3 weeks later under this thing. So you kind of have to put the whole thing in perspective on what it is. And once again, we're not opposed to the idea of protecting anybody that believes that even though the facts aren't sufficient to bring a criminal charge, they need some sort of protection. All we're saying is a couple different things. Number one is because it doesn't rise to the level of a criminal offense, there's no charges being filed, then that person that you're making these allegations against, he has to go in and defend himself. Right now, that person has to go in and be at the 72-hour hearing, and then for a year, he's subject to the terms and conditions of this potential protective order when there's no case that you can even prove that he did it. And so we're going, well, if that's the case, then that person needs to have his due process and his rights protected as well. And so that's basically what this does. As you'll notice that there's an amendment coming up that if this amendment's adopted, then those amendments are going to work through, you know, different aspects of it. So I would submit, number one, if you think the concept is right, we need to pass this amendment, and then if they want to pull out parts of it, as in the proposed amendments from the good legislators from Laramie County and Albany County, we can do that and kind of tackle them one at a time so that those basic protections are left in place. Now, to go, there's one other provision that the good representative from Washington County did not talk about, and that's there's a change to page 6, line 4, and that's also in this amendment. And what that change does, it changes, and this talks about this ex parte protective order. Ex parte means that this order is entered before the accused or the alleged accused even knows that there's a complaint against him. So that ex parte order means that it's done without the accused being aware of it. Ex parte means he's not part of it, he doesn't have a chance to respond, and then within 72 hours, he has the right to come in and respond. So this is a person that there are no criminal charges. He's got to have to hire a lawyer and show up and address the ex parte allegations of what he said or she said against that other person. So we're saying that the criteria is clear and present danger of further, and then for the key change here is further sexual assault, serious adverse consequences of any person. And so if there's clear and present danger of a further sexual assault, we said, absolutely, you should enter this order. But then the other criteria is if there's clear and present danger of serious adverse consequences to that person. Well, our complaint with that language is that is so vague, we don't know what it means. So how does a judge know what serious adverse consequences are? Does that mean that they're emotionally distraught and they don't want that if it's two students at a high school or at University of Wyoming and the victim and the alleged perpetrator, she says he can't be on campus because I'll be mentally distraught, therefore he shouldn't be able to go to school or he should be kicked out of the dorms or whatever it is. We're going, well, there has to be some criteria where the judge or some entity says, it can't just be any serious adverse consequences. And then you have to bring in a psychologist and say, if this person remains on campus, or let's assume that this is a professor or a teacher who then someone complains of sexual contact or improper touching, then does that mean that this teacher can't teach his class anymore because of an alleged serious consequence? But we don't even know what that means. So we inserted the word physical. So now it reads if there's a clear and present danger of sexual assault, then the ex parte order is entered, or serious physical adverse consequences. So we're just saying, look, there has to be something that is real, that is coherent, that you can articulate. It just can't be, I'm so upset that this person shouldn't be going to the University of Wyoming because that's where I attend school. So we're just trying to, once again, put some logic to it and provide any protections we can for a victim. But make sure that this person who's not charged with a crime, and it's a he said, she said type of incident. So we don't really know who's telling the truth. Or for whatever reason, charges aren't being brought. We want to say that in this situation, Those persons need to be protected, but it needs to be rational, reasonable, related to the facts in each given case, and it has to be real. It can't be something that we can't put our finger on, but we just don't like it. So in addressing the term of 3 months versus 6 months versus 1 year, this is a real problem that personally with this bill, because what happens is you go in, you have a 72-hour hearing. And in that 72-hour hearing, the judge determines, based upon the two parties, on whether or not there is a clear and present danger of further sexual assault. And honestly, I'm not sure if I know what that is. But what we do know is that it's been in front of the prosecutor. It's been studied and evaluated. It's only 72 hours, so it really hasn't fully been developed. So then we're saying, look, if the prosecutor doesn't file a charge within 3 months, and which means essentially this person is innocent until proven guilty, yet you want a temporary restraining order for a year, so this person's left in limbo for a year and is stuck on it without having the ability to do anything about it because the judge has entered the order. We're saying, wait, if there is a clear and present danger, the chances are that that's only going to last 3 months at best. And then if it still exists, all the prosecutor has to come in, submit the same affidavits, and say this still exists because this person still lives within a block of this person, and the threat is real, and the prosecutor is still investigating the case. We're doing all these things, and so the risk is still there. That's all you have to do. So we're just saying, look, if you're going to charge someone, charge them. Otherwise, their rights need to be protected just as much as the victim's rights until he's convicted or he's charged. And once again, the minute that a crime is charged or dismissed, then the court takes over. And this whole bill is structured at that situation where no charges are filed and there's something about the case that charges aren't warranted. And so it provides a protection, a mechanism for those cases where it's needed, but we just need to be careful on how we draft the language, and that's what this amendment does. So I would move for your support on the amendment.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the bill and against this amendment. This is a convoluted amendment to a very good bill. This is a bill that we worked, I say judiciously, in the Joint Judiciary Committee over the interim. We were helped in the construction of this bill by the judiciary, and what this bill does is close a narrow hole that we have in our statutes right now that has carved out the inability for an individual who isn't a family member, who is a victim of stalking or being stalked, from our protection orders. It's a narrow band of individuals who can't get a sexual assault protection order. And this bill allows for it to happen. This amendment, on the other hand, does, as the bringer said, a minimum of three different things, and does so in a very complicated way. Now, again, as one of the previous speakers said, we've brought an amendment following this one to try to clean it up. But what I would much prefer is that we defeat this amendment. It doesn't make sense, especially on third reading, to try to undo many of the good things that we did during the Joint Judiciary Committee. It does three things. It cleans up some things. I'm fine with that. But the addition of additional language in terms of on line 20, page 6, line 4, adding in the term physical, that has very particular statutory meaning. That's not what is meant by the current statute. And then increasing the time, or decreasing the time from 1 year to 3 months, doesn't give the judiciary time to do its job. So, again, in favor of the bill and against this amendment.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
neither for nor against at this point in time, but I understand the bringers of this amendment's concern for the rights of the accused to be able to face their accuser and go before a jury of their peers if that is appropriate at some point. So I'm actually not for sure where I'm going to be on this particular amendment yet. But just notice that the debate thus far has been all attorneys. I'm the only non-attorney that's spoken thus far. And I wish some of these issues would have come out in committee, or I wish they would have come out in the interim also, where we have lawyers around the state where we met and discussed this bill. They were, of course, welcome to come to our meeting and testify and try to get some of this language in the bill that we brought out of the interim. So listen to the debate. This is important. It's a good debate thus far, and vote the way you lean.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a question that's probably directed to the attorneys. While under accusation or under one of these orders, is there an infringement on your Second Amendment to buy a gun? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's been a lot of good debate, and I just have one comment. I won't go over old territory. It's extremely important to remember that this bill is allowing for a civil order, okay? It's not a criminal proceeding. It's a civil proceeding tied to a criminal case. So when we throw out right to challenge your accuser, all that sort of thing, I think that misses the point of this bill. It's a civil order.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My understanding from the testimony in committee is this doesn't affect gun rights one way or the other, because to have your gun rights taken away, you would have to be convicted of a crime. This is a civil order, not a criminal conviction.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the bringer? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good debate. That's what we're supposed to do. A couple of things to try to quickly address is, you know, we keep saying this is civil, but it has criminal consequences of somebody being arrested. So this it is too tightly woven to just make that statement, I'm afraid. And a couple of other items I maybe like to address in my defense of bringing this is that I understand the importance of the work that our committees do during the interim, but each member of this body has the opportunity to bring their amendments at any point in time. And this was the time that I had the time to bring this. And so I put this together, and it may look complicated, but that's simply because we're going in and making amendments throughout the bill. It wasn't done to deceive anyone. It's simply done to correct what I think were some of the shortcomings of the bill. And I just want to touch those one more time, seeing how I get to speak last. And that, again, is I understand the need to protect people. I understand the needs that there is a gap out there right now that exists in our laws. But we have to take that need, and we have to balance that with the due process rights of the accused. And that's all I'm trying to do with this, is we're going to come in and say that everything's going to be kept confidential. And then furthermore, that we've got this three-month period was discussed. If that person, I'll use the term the alleged victim, is still having those problems, that is a good opportunity. They will take the time, they will go through the effort to go in at 3 months and have this thing reviewed again and restated. It goes back in front of the judge. The judge can make the determination if it's necessary to stay in place. It might also prompt the county attorney's office, or the DA if you're in the larger cities, to go ahead and file some charges on this. It's all I'm attempting to do is make this bill palatable in a way that it does what was intended
protect this very narrow band of folks, but it also protects the rest of society's rights not to be accused or charged. I mean, it's one of those things. There was a point in time in history where all you had to do was point at somebody and call them a witch, and then they were drug out and burned. I just want to make sure that we've got that middle step where we go ahead and take the time to make sure that we prove up. So I'd encourage you to vote in favor of this bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 17. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 17 is passed. We're now on, there's another amendment. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 17, Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 17 and ask for your favorable consideration. Okay, friends, this is the amendment that drills down into the previous amendment. And so I know, especially not only for the new folks, but for this old folk trying to figure out how to do this, it was a bit rusty. So what you're looking at right here, you'll need your previous amendment in order to follow it through. You probably would also like your bill. Maybe you'd even like your statutes to understand what's going on here. So as was explained to us with the previous amendment, it does three things. What our amendment does here is it accepts one of those three things and rejects two of them. All right? So the one element that it accepts is identifying the parties similarly and protecting the confidentiality of both of those parties. So the amendment that you have in front of you doesn't change that at all. Okay? So what this amendment does do, however, is address the two other elements. And where you see that one to start with is on the new amendment, if you look at line 8, and you'll see that it references page 6, line 4. And that's the insertion of the word physical after the word serious. So let's turn to page 6, line 4. And you'll see the bringers of the previous amendment went into the statute in a way that the Joint Judiciary Committee didn't, but added a limiting factor. And so where the committee added in sexual assault or of serious physical adverse consequences to any person, the last amendment added in after serious the word physical. Okay, so believe it or not, in Title VI, in our criminal code, and in Judiciary Committee, we spend hours and hours debating what these terms mean and what those scenarios are. What's serious bodily injury? What's bodily injury? So here, we're now adding in kind of a term of law. We're adding in serious physical adverse consequences. So I quickly ran into our attorneys and said, okay, where in our statutes do we use that phrase? Okay? You know, does that phrase exist anywhere? And the answer is yes, and honestly, I'm not happy with where it does exist. It exists in two places, 63111A, when it has to do with the position and transportation of explosives. Right? That's not what we're talking about here. Another place is, and if I can read my handwriting, I think it's 93263PI, which is physical harm to a pet. Okay? Again, I am not happy with putting into our statute, and in an important statute, regarding sexual assault violence of protection orders, a term that has meaning elsewhere in our statutes that has nothing to do with what we're doing here. All right, so that's the first thing that this amendment does not allow for the insertion of the word physical. Okay? The second thing that our amendment does is it goes back to the 1 year period of time rather than what we just adopted, which is 3 months. That 1 year period of time is meaningful. As we heard from the good prosecutor who spoke against the previous amendment, he talked about in his role the importance of having that year
to make a determination. So I'm in favor of this amendment, in favor of the bill, and what this amendment does is it drills down and does appropriately what we should have done with the last amendment, but it was too complicated. So I call for the question.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I just checked Federal Form 4473, which is the one you fill out when you go to buy a gun, and it is a defeating statement. The statement is, are you under a protection order for domestic violence or abuse? And if you answer in the affirmative on that form, you are not allowed to buy a gun during the whole time that you are under such a restrictive order. So that is a disqualifier. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, at the risk of being slightly repetitive, what we're trying to do is just tie this down so that we're protecting everybody's rights, number one. And if the reason that we inserted physical is to make it a tangible, real risk of injury, not something that is just out there in the nebulous land, that there is no way to categorize it other than to have someone come in and say, or have some psychologist say, if we don't continue this, that, you know, she's or he, whatever it is at risk of serious injury. Well, what type of injury? Well, mental injury or emotional injury. And to me, that once again, you have to think about what we're doing and what this act is doing. This is a temporary restraining order that can now, under this provision, go up to a year for someone who's never been convicted of a crime, never been charged with a crime, and believes quite possibly he never did anything wrong. And we don't even know that the event happened other than one. It's a he said, she said provision to protect, to go out of the way to protect people based upon allegations. And, you know, if the prosecutor doesn't bring a charge, how long do you have to stand under this protective order? And going back to the gun issue, I looked it up last night. And if you look at, I believe it's 18 U.S.C., I forget the number, component to it, but if you're arrested under this provision, or if there's an order out there, there is a real question on whether or not you can even bear arms, let alone buy a gun under this provision, and it's not a violation of federal law. And I just don't think it was seriously enough looked at, and the consequences to everyone in the world except for the one egregious incident that apparently this bill is trying to protect. And so, once again, it's a balancing effect. We're not... We didn't go after the ability to immediately arrest, which maybe we should have, because even that, you shouldn't be able to do it without a court saying, yeah, you should be arrested. And a lot of these situations, the relationships are kind of on again, off again, and so you don't know at what point in time or what the conduct is that caused the violation for an immediate arrest. I mean, there are just lots of things, and we're just trying to balance it out. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment. And once again, I think it's important to state to the body that every instance is different. And so when the good representative from this county states that it's a he said, she said situation, yeah, certainly. There are cases where it's he said, she said. No doubt about it. But there's also cases where there's eyewitnesses. There's also cases where there's physical evidence. There's also cases where there's admissions by the person that served with the order. So to say that every case is he said, she said, that's not the case. I would ask that the body adopt this amendment to give courts the discretion to determine those matters. The courts can look at these. Courts look at these every day in the state of Wyoming. They look at these and they say, this is a strong case. There is physical evidence. There is witness statements. There are an admission from the person that's accused. As such, I believe that a one-year term is appropriate. Or they can look at it and say, certainly, this is a he said, she said situation with no other physical evidence, with no other actually evidence at all. So as a result of that, I'm going to issue an order for a one-month period of time. Give the courts the discretion to look at the fact pattern, look at each case individually, and I don't think it's fair to say that every case is flimsy, because every case is not flimsy. Let the judiciary do their job, give them the discretion to do their job, and adopt this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Pelkey.
Mr. Speaker, on in support of the amendment, I wanted to address a question raised by the representative from the County of Natrona. The question regarding gun rights. It's my understanding that the intent of the federal statute applies to domestic protection orders, and clearly what we're doing here is addressing a gap because the domestic protection order doesn't cover. We're not trying to extend ban from for those who are involved in or are covered by this measure. I don't believe that the U.S. statute would bar someone under one of these protection orders from keeping arms. The main concern I have at this point is that we're addressing a gap in the law, and the issue of sexual assault is one of the most serious, and yet we're unable to address that. Protection order in this case is necessary, and I support the idea of extending that up to a year, but leaving it at the discretion of the courts.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just need to address something that was stated, and in fact, we do have a situation where there are eyewitnesses and physical evidence. Then my feeling is then the county attorney needs to get his job done and get that person prosecuted, in which time they get in front of the judge, and the judge will take care of this, and this isn't even necessary.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Nicholas.
I tried to find it on my computer when I was looking last night, but addressing the gun issue, it's 18 U.S.C. 851C. And if you look, as I understand it, basically that says if you use a firearm while there's a TRO in place, then that's a violation of federal law. And so that was my quick conclusion of trying to look it up last night. And I don't know how accurate that is, but it was sure enough to raise my hackles and going, wait a minute, how thoroughly has this been vetted? And when my experience in federal district courts or when trying to effectuate that statute, they give an awful liberal construction to what that statute says. And so I just think there's a real risk to it. I would say, this really is a he said, she said, because if there's physical evidence, then there is a charge brought, and you go in front of the court immediately, and the court enters a bond, and the terms of those bonds are a lot more restrictive than what this statute does. So, on and against the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To address, once again, I know I've mentioned this several times, but I think it's important to address both what the good representative from this county and the good representative from county with the 2 and a 0 on his license plate addressed. These are separate and apart. And in strong cases, you'll have this additional protection as well. And once again, that additional protection from this civil order is an immediate arrest of a violation of this order. And on a criminal case, you can proceed down these dual tracks with a criminal case and a civil case. And the criminal case, there will be a bond put in place, and that there will be bond conditions. And in terms and conditions of that bond will be no contact. But if someone violates the criminal bond, there can be up to a week to 10 days before an arrest warrant would issue from a court, depending on the court schedule, the officer getting the report to the county or district attorney's office. So there is a natural delay built into that system. So to say that, oh, well, if it's a serious case, you don't need one of these, that's simply not the case. That is simply not true. In a serious case, you probably need one of these orders even more than you do in a he said, she said case, because it provides for the immediate arrest of an offender. So if you have a situation where someone is harassing someone, going after them right away, this gives law enforcement the opportunity to make that immediate arrest, not go back to the court in that delay. And in those most egregious situations, this is where you need this order more than anything else. So to say, oh, we don't need this because in an egregious situation the bond will protect you. Yeah, the bond may protect you, but it's going to take a period of time for that to be in effect. So when the argument is let the criminal case control, no, these are separate and apart. They're two distinct, separate paths that are going simultaneously, and these are essential to protect people in those scenarios. So as a result of that, I would respectfully request you adopt this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gurr for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to my good friend from up north, it was a good explanation. And so the fact is, if we have a serious situation where this helps, what we're trying to do is make this bill available. But at that same time, what we're doing, if you're running a dual-track situation, is we are going to keep this information confidential, which this amendment before us right now doesn't affect that. So we all agree with that. Then what we're coming in here, then on the second component of this is a time frame on it. And if we've got a serious situation going on, what I'm telling you, what I'm asking this body to understand, is coming back in 3 months and addressing this again is not out of line. It is not unreasonable to balance the need of protecting a victim and also the balance that we have to afford in terms of due process to the accused in this state. So that I just want to make that clear. I'd ask you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, thank you all for the good debate that we just had. But I'm going to urge you, of course, to vote in favor of this amendment. Again, what this amendment does is it cleans up the last amendment. First, we just heard from a prosecutor who talked about in this narrow band of cases, this absolute need to have the time up to a year in order to protect those victims. They don't have to use a year, right? It's up to a year. But it's absolutely necessary and crucial. And I would ask you to listen to him and his need as a prosecutor in order to do this. And again, we're talking about a narrow band of cases that are for victims that we are not protecting in our existing law. We've been doing a good job over the period of time that I've been here in trying to address issues of kind of domestic violence and sexual assault. And what we're doing right now is taking care of the holes that we have in our statute. We all recognize that this is one of these holes. And this bill, which is a good bill, takes care of it. The need for a year is part of that. And also, with the previous amendment that we just passed, it uses messy language, and I don't think that we should ever be putting messy language into our statutes. Putting in serious physical adverse consequences? No. Right? We had the opportunity, if that was their desire, they should have used language that currently exists in statute, such as serious bodily injury, but instead uses incredibly messy language that we only see in statutes that have nothing to do with the harm of individuals like we're talking about here. So I would encourage you to vote in favor of this amendment and in favor of the bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 17. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 17 has failed. Division being called. All in favor of third reading amendment to House Bill number 2 to House Bill 17, rise. All those opposed, please rise. 33. I told you. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 17 has failed. House Bill 17, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Nope.
Gay.
Nope.
Greer. Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 17, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 17 has passed the House. Committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1 will meet in 5 minutes in room 8H to discuss House Joint Resolution number 1, Regulation Freedom, and House Joint Resolution 5, Mandatory Judicial Retirement.
Berman, Zwanitzer, Dan.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 5 minutes upon noon recess to discuss 3 bills, House Bill 30, Deposits and Depositories, House Bill 63, Unclaimed Property Advertising, and House Bill 42, Unclaimed Property Merchant Stored Value Cards.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet today about 10 minutes after adjournment in room H17, where we will discuss House Bill 34, Convalescent Care Centers.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet in approximately 10 minutes in a JAC seminar in room 302. All legislators are invited on a seminar on oil and gas pricing. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2 will meet upon 50 minutes upon adjournment for continue agency hearings on Agency 46 Mixed Martial Arts Board and Agency 40 Game and Fish Commission.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education Committee number 4 will meet immediately after adjournment this afternoon. Immediately after adjournment.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning, Tuesday, at 8 a.m. to take up the following bills. House Bill 4, Prohibited Livestock Grazing. House Bill 8, Landowner Indemnification.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce two folks who have joined us today, representing my part of the state. One would be Mayor Bruce Jones from the Jackalope Town, and the other would be Dr. Mark Englert, the Vice President of Gillette College, up here in our balcony. So please welcome them.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce my first husband to you.
No, I take it back.
Bob Berger from the northern part of Sheridan County. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m., where we will continue with the third reading of our House bills, 37, 38, 39, 40, 55, 64, 65, 67. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your great debate. We wanted to have each of these bills heard today so we could get into the saddle, and I think we're doing that. Thank you.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 2 o'clock. We're actually in recess till 2 o'clock. Doggone it, we're recessed.